Hello and welcome to another Bald Move Television. This is the Banshee edition. I'm your host, Aaron.
And I'm Cecily.
And for the next 8 weeks, we're going to be dropping one of these Banshee podcasts in your podcast directory browser thing.
With the exception of a wrap-up podcast that we have the right to not do or do.
Depending on how the season goes, yeah. But yeah, for the next 8 weeks, we're going to be dropping that in your podcast feed. Its expectation is it'll be out Monday afternoonish because it's a Friday premiere.
We're a little late today with the spring break permitting.
Yeah. Tonight we are talking about episode 401, Something Out of the Bible, directed by old Christian Madsen and written by Jonathan Tropper,
series creator.
Mm-hmm. What did you think of the episode?
I liked it. Maybe I had a few drinks in anticipation of the series starting, so I think I liked it a little more than other people did, but I don't know. I'm excited about Banshee all the time, whatever I can get. Mm-hmm. I don't expect great story. I don't expect any of that. I do expect tits and fights, and I got a lot of that.
Yeah. I mean, I do expect... I didn't at first, but now I'm expecting to be surprised by the story. I don't have to be blown away, but like, and I felt like that's the criticism I'd lay at this episode is that there's a lot of things that happen that I don't understand. And they switched filming locations from one spot in the United States to another, mm-hmm. which made the whole episode, it felt like being like, you know, Banshee House Hunt edition. Everyone's got a new house. The police have a new police station, which I think is actually kind of cool. Kai Proctor has got a new fortress of Proctitude. Hannah / Carrie has got her own new digs.
I did not get that. I did not know that they changed set locations before the series or before this episode started. So I just thought it was very much in the theme of like rebirth or starting over, and everyone got this fresh start.
I do,
except for Sugar, of course.
Sure, yeah, like that's the thing. Like
you're bringing that set wherever you go.
When we finally got to Sugar's bar, it's like, okay, if Sugar switched places where he, you know, hung out a shingle, I'm going to flip my shit because why? Everything else.
Well, the only reason he would is if he wanted to invest some of his new money, but that would be like a dead giveaway. So yeah.
No, he's keeping it. He's confined his expenditures to classic muscle cars. I don't know. I'm still a hashtag forever Fanshee, but I thought this was a weird slow start to the season. I was also mad at my idol Alan Sepinwall because he put in the fucking title of his review for this episode that Banshee has a serial killer. Now, once I saw the episode, I was significantly less mad because literally
it's within
the first
like the first 10 minutes
they established a serial killer routine. What do you think? Because I feel like that is kind of the critical bugaboo. Oh my god, another goddamn serial killer. Like, not even something as good as the first season of True Detective suffered from, oh my god, another fucking serial killer.
I don't know. I think true crime stuff's really hot right now. I mean, Making a Murderer and all
those are about shows that people, you know, not about killer.
Well, I mean, people are naturally pretty drawn towards that. What's the word I'm looking for without making myself sound like a total creep?
Lewd and lascivious descriptions of horrific crimes.
People are super interested in that stuff, myself included. I spent the whole time you were gone watching true crime dramas.
Oh, really?
Yes.
See, I guess that's the thing. Like, I don't have serial killer fatigue because I noped out of Dexter after the first season. I stopped watching Hannibal, not because I wanted to, just because time and circumstances after the first season. It's still a relatively new thing. Like, I never watched Law and Order. Never watched any of the CSI.
So you're
stuff.
Not one of those people who's like, oh my god, another serial killer.
No, I never. I mean, I haven't gotten tired of it yet.
And I am one of those people who's oversaturated and I'm not tired of it. So,
okay.
I don't know, two ends of the spectrum, I guess.
Is it too early to speculate? And by the way, this is going to be our first kind of what we call half-ass podcast. And that doesn't mean we put any less time or attention or care into it. Although, you know, you can make your own judgment.
We're just hitting the high notes. We're not going to do a scene by scene
breakdown because we don't like an action heavy show. Those don't tend to service them well.
Right. So I've got my notes in order of just general characters and what they're doing.
I want to talk about the serial killer thing a little bit because do you have any idea of who might be behind this, because I do have an idea.
Do you? I mean, there is only a handful of sociopaths we can pick out of the series.
Sure.
Who'd want to kill Rebecca, and that would be all of them. So, yeah. I don't know. I'm kind of hoping that they bring this Job thing and this Rebecca murderer thing to like a nice, neat close together at the end. But I don't have any real ideas. What's yours?
I think it might be Bad Bowtie Burton.
That, you know, that's the first the thing
deadly,
in my mind.
The deadly triple B, because number one, he's creepy. Number two, we know he's got like psychopathic tendencies. Number three, he was abused in like some kind of torture slavery thing.
Right.
And number four, he hates Rebecca.
He's got this puppy dog affection for Proctor, and she takes away from, I don't know.
Yeah, he takes she takes away from his ability to love Proctor the way he thinks he should be loved. And two, he thinks that she's careless with his activities.
I feel like that's too easy of an answer. I feel the last season
he ripped a woman's throat out last season.
Well, sure, but she was going to rip his out first.
That's true. That's
I feel like the last season they kind of set up where they have a more of a partnership and not like a direct competition anymore. He started to respect her business acumen.
I think you're right. That's kind of where they're going, but we flash forward 2 years and a lot has changed. Do we want to talk about just, you know, where we're at with all the characters?
Sure. Let's just go through this.
All right. Job's still missing.
First thing I want to touch on is the opening credits.
Ah, yes. My favorite part of Banshee. One of my favorite parts.
Some of the images you see are unique to each episode.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure the lock combination is different for each season. This season, it is 21-3-20, and I still don't know what that means to anything, but there you have it.
Represent a different job, you know? Like, it's a new season, there's a new safe to unlock, there's a new combination. There's a couple things, like, you know, last season it was all about the military officer and his embezzlement and them stealing his money, and that his he kept turning his class ring until it got broken off.
Yeah, just the finger got bloodier and bloodier. Yeah.
This,
that was cool.
This one, guy got kneecapped. I'm like, oh, interesting. And I started theorizing all this stuff, and well, it just turns out.
He actually got kneecapped.
Yeah, the whatever deep, dark, secret terrorist cell that, you know, Hood got recruited into way back when, he's got kneecapped for torture.
Yeah, before he got capped for life.
Anything else you want to talk about?
In the opening credits.
Okay.
Nope.
That will make sense thematically as we get deeper into the episodes.
Right.
Into the season, rather.
So, I'm going to start with Brock, looking for Rebecca's car, and the GPS of the car led him back to Lucas's cabin. I'm going to call it Lucas's cabin, where she was the night that she got snatched out of her car.
It's interesting. There's a little post-credit coda that kind of showed us that was all about.
They say it's been about 2 years, but I guess it's been only like 18 months. So they did a lot of like 18 months ago, 12 months ago.
Yeah.
So
I think it's 2 years.
Right. But there was a specific time that was the last time we saw Rebecca, either 12 or 18 months ago. Okay. She died 4 days ago. So no, she was at the cabin 4 days ago. That's what it was.
How much do you think Lily Simmons, who plays Rebecca, is going to actually be in this season? Because it seems like she was not exactly prominent in a lot of flashbacks, but she was definitely in. Like,
she'd shoot a lot of new material.
Yeah. It doesn't feel like that this was a way to write her out. Although maybe she'll be in this, you know, like we won't see much of her going forward at all.
Right. Maybe not. I mean, you did shoot. Well, I don't know. That depends entirely on who the serial killer, what motive is, and what their motive is for killing her.
Yeah.
She drove up to Lucas's house, drove away a little bit, stopped and got out of the car. So it seemed like a really random spot for someone to just run up and tackle her.
Yeah.
Or am I not getting a better...
Because I didn't feel like she was pulling over to wait for something. It seems like she was pulled over. She pulled over because she was distraught.
Right.
And she needed to be emotional in the woods. And then she
like
got
jumped.
Yeah, you know, sometimes a girl's got to be emotional in the woods.
Yeah.
So we found out also that Rebecca set Lucas up in the hunting cabin that's owned by her uncle, Kai Proctor.
She did.
Because she feels pity for him.
She doesn't want him making a bad name of Proctor.
Well, that's the other thing, because he had holed up in one of his hotels and was fucking the place up.
So she went on her own. It wasn't Proctor's directive to send her there.
don't think so.
Or else she wouldn't have kept it a secret.
Yeah.
They still, I mean, he seemed to mourn her pretty badly when he found out she was dead. So yeah, I don't know if he's just like feeling the distress of just losing people in general. And it just,
it did seem like there's a theme of this episode with ghosts.
Yes.
You know, we saw Shaban, you know, was prominently one of the officers slain along with the other guy who can't. You're going to have to roll with me on some of these names because I was calling Rebecca Elizabeth on the forums today. But you know, there's all this talk about ghosts. And, you know, he's reliving these flashbacks of his daughter saying that, you know, I was just...
You're just a piece of shit who got my mom knocked out.
Yeah, who gave my mom a money shot. And, like, all these bad experiences. The fact that Carrie's husband died in the raid that they did, you know, they all did together.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that Job is gone. And I thought it was interesting how Sugar says he hopes that Job is dead. Because him being alive would make him even a bigger piece of shit. All of them collectively bigger pieces of shit than they already are for
giving up so soon. Yeah.
Although, so I don't know that they gave up soon. Like, it seems like they were hot on the trail 12 months after his disappearance. And he hit a dead end with, again, the black cell interrogation, you know, whoever the CIA, NSA, secret soldier program guy is.
Right. And I guess they could have done more, like really ran it into the ground instead of just saying we've got nothing left. That's your only option, I guess.
It did feel like that's the thing. Like 2 years out, like he had just given up, like ready to, like this close to putting a gun in his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
He's drinking himself to death.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. I don't know why you would just give up like that.
I don't know. He's got like Superman syndrome where just Lucas can just walk into any fight knowing he's going to win and just wreck house. And this is the one thing where he failed, and he failed hard, and he pushed them so hard to get into the situation. So
I thought it was a little anticlimactic when he had the interrogation with the guy. So he shoots his leg and I'm like, okay, it's going to be torture. And the guy's like, you can shoot all my limbs and my dick and all that stuff, but I'm not going to talk because I don't have anything to say. And it felt like the Lucas took that at face value.
Right.
But then we find out like 30 seconds later, the helicopters come. He had tripped some kind of silent alarm or someone was coming to save him. So it's like
he had a vested interest.
Yeah, he had a vested interest of stalling.
Right.
So if I felt like if I was Lucas, I would have grabbed him right then and there and tried to be off with him so I can interrogate him fully. Just to make sure. But instead, he walked off, and I'm like, well, this is kind of bullshit. Then he came back and shot him to Nate. I'm like, okay, that makes me feel a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt like that, if you're going to drink yourself to death, maybe that's why, because you fucked up the whole interrogation.
I mean, yes, I guess so. But it seems to me proof that there is some sort of lead to be chasing. If they come looking for Job, and they've got helicopters there within minutes, it seems proof positive to me that you're on the right track, but what do I know?
Yeah.
Never been a part of a secret organization that I'll admit to.
The other odd thing that's kind of what the fuck is Kai Proctor is now the mayor of Banshee.
Yes. Did you like how...
Well, no, Banshee's the town and the county, right?
Right.
Okay.
They kind of teased it. I don't know if you noticed this in Second Watch, but when Hood and Brock first went into Brock's office, there's a picture on the wall of Brock shaking Kai Proctor's hand.
Mm.
So before you actually saw the reveal, it was there.
It was teased, yeah. Because they kept on talking about you've got a press conference with the mayor. You got a press conference with the mayor.
Yes.
And you find out that. So I thought, that's interesting. He ran unopposed. Of course he did. Why did Kai Proctor feel like he needed to be out in front of the limelight? Because it felt like he worked a lot better in the shadows. And he even alludes to the fact that he's kind of limited in what he can do as far as investigating his niece-wife's his niece-wife's disappearance.
His niece piece?
Yeah, there you go. His niece piece. His side niece.
Okay, so Proctor, for the longest time, without having any elected or official power, has been running the town, right?
Sure.
Well, when Lucas Hood rolled up, he said that's not going to be the case anymore. So I think
he saw a weakness that if he couldn't control the he needs a way to control the sheriff.
Right. So Yeah, Brock's the sheriff, and he can't really oppose Proctor anymore, but he does have that police station running at full speed. It's a well-oiled machine now. That isn't...
Well, is it? Because he was complaining about the DA being kind of like bought and sold and a puppet of Kai. And also the new not Siobhan. I don't know what her name is. Lucas mentions that he kind of reminds her of Siobhan. I don't know about that, but I'm going to go with not Siobhan, faux Siobhan.
Phobon.
She can't be trusted, or at least Brock has reason to believe that she can't be trusted.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
She's less trustworthy than a neo-Nazi who said he's working on removing his tattoos
two years later
has not done a goddamn thing.
Nope. It didn't take priority on the ones on his hands or the prominent ones on his neck.
And I was shocked because they already had an in-universe reason not to have to make him up on every fucking scene. Like, if you're in your police uniform, you don't have to get the tattoos on. There'll be plenty of time for you to take your damn shirt off, and you're going to have all this burnt scarring, plastic stuff, and all these Nazi tattoos. And I was really... Especially since they mentioned it in the episode. Right, I was going to have that removed anyway. Were you?
Which ones have you gotten removed?
Were you?
What kind of living wage are you making as a policeman that you have to save up for years before you can even get the smallest tattoo removed?
Yeah, like if I was Brock, he comes to work with, like, I don't know, a new radio installed in his car. I'm like, oh, so that's more important than getting the fucking Aryan Brotherhood off of your goddamn neck?
Yes.
Officer Bunker. That was really weird. Like, yeah. Usually shows would have any excuse not to have to, like, NBC show with the naked lady that's got all the tattoos?
It's called Tattooed Lady.
That's what it is. I heard that they use any excuse to full mock turtleneck her up because it's such a pain in the ass to tattoo her.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, just have him remove the neck and the hand tattoos. That's all you need.
That's all you need.
All right.
So we mentioned the Phobon. They release some guys from the prison cell because the DA called it in.
They're up to no good.
They start to talk shit about the DA, yep. And then Phobon gives them a look like, I'm listening.
Mm-hmm.
So she's on Proctor's payroll.
I don't know if it's that simple.
She also shows up at
the
hospital later to interrogate the guys who got their fingers broken.
And does that mean... I mean, that would imply that she has got some agenda.
Right.
But the other thing is Banshee... It seems like Banshee is always under investigation, like, at a federal level. So she doesn't necessarily have to be in Proctor's pocket.
I think it's implied she's in Proctor's pocket.
Hmm.
When he started to say because the Proctor's got the DA in his pocket or something to that effect.
Supposed to think that, but I'm wondering if they're double, triple crossing us and she's actually working in some federal investigation into the DA's office.
Nah. Well, then she'd be in with the police department. There's no reason for her to hide her identity from the police.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
She could just be internal investigations.
I'm just floating it out there and I'll take full credit if I'm right.
I have a question for you about these guys that released. They mentioned that they damn near almost strangled a guy to death.
Yeah. An elderly gentleman.
Why? Who was that elderly gentleman in relationship to Carrie?
Why do you think there's a relation?
Because she follows those guys, waits outside the bar that they go drink at, and breaks their fingers.
I just think she's doing her Bat Hannah thing. Like,
so she knew those guys were going to be released from prison at that point?
Yeah.
Why?
Do you think her and Brock are working together to try to do some, you know, street justice?
Nah.
You don't think Brock is like there's some signs that Brock has taken a couple pages out of Lucas Hood's
playbook. I think if
playbook.
That were the case, they would, when Brock shows up at her house later, he would say, hey, this guy was admitted to the hospital. You know anything about that? Something cute, clever like that. But no, there didn't seem to be any more to their conversation when they met.
Okay.
So no speculation on that yet?
I don't think so. Well, speaking of Hannah/Carrie, she has had her children taken away from her. She's gotten a new house that she's kind of slowly fixing up. She's crushed... I really enjoyed her crushing that dude's hand.
Yeah, that's cool. Because
it was this trademark Banshee over fucking top.
Yes. Just when his hand's a pulp, you keep beating it anyway.
Yeah. And like, there's one of the things I guess I was a little frustrated with this episode. It seems like an inordinate amount of time was people catching up on other people's shit, or catching other people up on other people's shit.
I'll forgive that in the first episode.
Like, there's this scene of, but I feel like if this thing flowed narratively better, they wouldn't have to do so much of that. Like, it's their choice to make it a 2-year time jump. Hood's got crazy hair and he's got a crazy beard. He loses the beard. He's still got hair that I'm not sold on. He needs to shave that shit off pretty quick.
Yeah, his haircut, his new 90s Chandler haircut, I hated it.
It looks a little bit like I woke up like this, and he's not Beyonce.
I know, so he's got some sort of like half-inch guard in there because he shaved his beard down to a stubble.
Sure. He's actually more clean-shaven than usual, I thought.
Yeah, just take the rest of the head off. I think if he goes clean-shaven, it makes him look too young, and then the flashbacks don't work as well.
Yeah. What do you want to, so there's also some scenes with Sugar and Hood, and Sugar seems like he's resentful towards Hood and can't believe that he's showing back up with, like, you know, not much to say. Nevertheless loans him his classic muscle car that he bought from his heist money.
The only thing he bought with his monies.
Yeah. Yep. And of course, like, this is a Fast and Furious thing. You can't have a hero. You can't have an anti-hero driving around, unless you're Jason Statham. You can't have him driving a nice little European sport. It's got to be...
No, it's got to be a muscle car.
Yeah.
What kind of car did you say that was?
Man, I don't know. I started to look it up and I got distracted because when I was researching it, I found out that there was a classic muscle car, the Pontiac Banshee.
And this is not that.
That was later remade into a concept car in the late 80s, early 90s. And no, it was. And I'm like, oh my God, if they made this the Pontiac Banshee.
I would have loved that.
That would be incredible. But mm-hmm. No, I'm sure someone will send what the make and model of that is.
Yeah. So Hood or Sugar suits Hood up with a nice, cool car. And then he goes and hunts down the Bodickers.
Mm-hmm, the Bodickers.
Bodickers.
Uh-huh.
And we find out Brock's been following him around because, of course, he is. You said we've seen the Bodicker before?
I didn't recognize him, but according to a Banshee-pedia, that Hood blew his hand off in a previous altercation.
They say which one?
Which hand?
No, I know which hand.
Which Bodicker?
Nope. Like, what altercation? There's been so many.
No. Was it over something trivial? I remember him getting into a lot of shit kicker trouble in the first season. So,
yeah. Okay.
And that's the thing. The other thing is, like,
got to make a name for yourself. Got to claim some hands.
Sure. I'm a lot, because I saw season one a long time ago and I didn't go back and rewatch that. I've seen a lot of season three recently, yeah. And I've got a pretty good working memory of season two. But yeah, season one, if this happened in season one, then I'm lost. And if it happened in season three, then I'm just a fucking idiot. So
I got that going for me. Did you ever see the trailers for this show before it ever started?
Mm-mm.
It, to me, I have this really strong impression that, to me, the name Banshee, the sepia tone type of promos they use in like an Amish town in the middle of nowhere, I thought it was going to be very supernatural.
Well, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I don't know why that made me think of it, but guess I'm getting nostalgic because it's ending.
No, no supernatural stuff yet.
So, maybe. Yeah, this was a very big shift from the supernatural. So, yeah, Proctor and Hood are on a team, unofficially.
They're working for the same purpose right now because they both really want to see whoever hurt Rebecca dead.
And they both suspect each other, kind of, but not really.
I can't believe that either one of them thinks...
Well, you could have done it. Well, you could have done it. Well, let's see who figures it out first, and then we'll prove neither of us did it.
Yeah, but the thing is, I don't buy for a minute that Hood thinks Proctor killed his niece, and I don't for a minute think that Proctor thinks that Hood killed his niece, because they both know... I don't think they're fully aware, but they're aware on some level that she was important to both of them. Although...
Why?
I mean, that's the thing. Like, Hood has fucked so many women, mm-hmm. and had kind of an emotional moment with so many of them, mm-hmm. that, like, clearly Siobhan and Carrie / Hannah are at the top of the pyramid. But, like, as soon as Siobhan started making eyes at him, I'm like, Hood is going to get in this before the season is over. It's a done deal.
I don't think so. She shut him down pretty hard.
I will bet you... $50 that they have sex before this 8-episode run is over.
I'm not taking that bet because I know you're right. But
yeah, that's where the rubber hits the road.
But it's gonna be like
rubber hits the sheriff's deputy.
Which James Bond movie was that had the woman who strangled men to death with her thighs?
Xenia on a top. Yeah. That was Goldfinger. Goldeneye.
Goldeneye. Yeah.
I went Goldfinger, then Goldmember, and then Goldeneye.
Golden pussy. That's the one.
Pussy bouillon.
I think that's what's gonna happen. If they have sex, it's gonna be in some sort of adversarial type of
thing. I mean, it could be like the Indian's sister, they kind of not hate fucked, but like,
oh, felt, no, I
like
think
feeling
just...
each other out fuck.
Yeah, I thought you were gonna say the time when Rebecca had sex with the chief guy and then you know, slit his throat all over the table.
No,
something like that. That's what I'm imagining.
Well, she can try it, but we'll see how it goes. So what did Hood find out from the Bodeker guy?
That he said his nephew LJ was sleeping with Rebecca, and he's some kind of rock star or something.
I don't know, because I felt like that this is a low-class family, and I can't imagine Rebecca, unless she's doing it for proctor purposes, is going to sleep with them.
What was that one guy she had sex with purely to get her uncle's attention? You remember that
was it
young guy?
Lucas, the real Lucas Hood's son?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, no,
yeah,
no.
I think so.
Yeah, she was picking up people at the honky tonk on the reg, or at his own. It was at his strip club, wasn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
Something like
did
that.
Do you think we'll see the strip club again? Or did that get burnt down? That might have gotten burnt down.
Maybe sold. I don't know. Maybe it's not good form for a mayor to own a strip club.
It's probably not a good form for the mayor's secretary to go and put a man's head in a vice and beat his brains out with a baseball bat, and yet we saw that this episode too.
This is true.
What's going on with the white power movement? Because there's some interesting intrigue in here that Bunker is sleeping with
first
his brother Calvin's wife.
Yes. Not his actual brother, but yes.
Wait, whoa, what?
It's not his actual brother. They're brotherhood brothers.
No, but he says there were brothers before the brotherhood. I thought they're flesh and blood brothers.
No, it's the same way you call like your friends, your brothers.
Okay, but I wouldn't say to my brother, my quote-unquote brothers, brothers before brotherhood. I'd say that to my real brother.
No, you wouldn't.
Well, okay, that's a complicated family dynamic going on there.
Well, sure. So is it here, clearly.
Okay,
but no,
well,
I don't think they're actual brothers.
Also,
I have to watch the last season again, but...
White power men can't jump.
Clearly.
All they can do is lay up against their 6-year-old son.
Yes. So I don't know what the point of bringing this guy back is. Just to intimidate Bunker? To keep Bunker's story going?
Sure.
But like, if you want it out, why are you sleeping with this guy's wife?
Mm-hmm.
It's a really cute little miniature Nazi that they're building, though.
Yeah. Was he blonde? I didn't notice.
No, he wasn't.
Oh, really?
He was a cute little brunette with a jean jacket on.
Oh, they fucked up. You know, it's supposed to be blonde, blue eyes, right? So Banshee has this trademark on the emotional montage. And, like, Proctor had one where he's, like, having this living daydream of Rebecca. Hood had one of Rebecca. Old boy Calvin had one of beating the ever-living fuck out of his Chinese boss's head. I think it's interesting how they do that, because sometimes you can't tell what's real and what's fantasy. And like, I was about to, the whole time he's beating this guy and like killing him in this office, I'm thinking, okay, this can't be real. But it kept on going on, and they convinced me, oh God, I guess he just killed this man in front of his office. This is Banshee after all. They flash back and it's.
Yeah.
Like, did you ever feel jerked around by that?
No. I mean, like I said, I have a completely different set of expectations when it comes to this show. And it's big and it's flashy and it's loud. And they do that daydreamy thing a lot, don't they?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it's several times an episode.
Yeah. No, I mean, not with this show. I guess I don't, since that's how my standards are calibrated.
No, I don't mind it. It's an interesting way, because there's not a lot of dialogue and plot, and it's mostly action-driven and kind of emotional-driven, and I feel like it's kind of like these are, you know how like every Voltron is essentially 5 minutes long and you got 15 minutes of transformation and yes. lions, you know, fucking each other ass until they turn into a giant robot or yeah, you know, it's a Sailor Moon with her, you know, there's 5 minutes of plot and then 15 minutes of Sailor transformation.
Oh my God, and when they get the whole team together.
Yeah, no, it goes on forever. Got their, yeah. Sure, yeah. sure. And then God help her, they have to take off their tiaras and throw it into their tiara weapons. But no, I feel like that's Banshee's transformation sequence.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this really only got 35 minutes of plot in this episode. Let's have Lucas look gaze into the middle distance while we have the ghosts of Rebecca running in and out of his cabin and therefore his mind. Let's have him screaming in a cell for two or three seconds for no good reason.
I wonder what it's like to film these shows. Let's just walk and say something. Sure, and giggle.
Sure. Yeah, 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 right? Now look back meaningfully. Stare right at the camera.
Yeah, just a lot of...
Now show us your nipple. It's crazy. Speaking of... So we had a lot of flashback nudity. The only new nudity we had was the rubber body double that they had for Rebecca.
No, we saw the tits of Calvin's wife.
Oh, that's right.
Yep.
You know, and does she look like Nat Shaban? Because I thought that the scandal was that the former neo-Nazi sheriff's deputy was fucking the other potentially compromised by Kai Proctor or a federal investigation sheriff's deputy. But it turns out, no, it's just his...
No, I just think...
his brother's wife. Quote-unquote brother, maybe.
I just think... wait, are you trying to say that white women all kind of look the same?
Well, you know... maybe.
Because you think that all the...
For the longest time...
The average size white women in the show look all the same.
Well,
Even though Calvin's wife is blonde, Phoban is...
Dirty blonde,
a little
right?
bit taller. She's got more of a
Well, I'll tell you how bad it
face.
Is. When I first started watching the show, I have a clear memory of the episode where Carrie goes to prison.
Mm-hmm.
And Shaban is beating the shit out of her ex... boyfriend,
yeah,
ex-husband.
Thought it was the same person.
And I thought, because I just saw that episode not attached to anything, I'm like, oh, I'm about to check the show out. I thought we were seeing flashbacks to why Carrie was going to prison because she beat the shit out of her son. But you know, and they don't really look the same. But like when they're getting,
there's a certain type of woman on the show.
Like, yeah, they're like all generically bronze skinned.
Oh, they are. I mean,
impeccably made up and fixed hair, and they all got the hard bodies and.
Yeah,
they all have a certain type, and they all kind of blend together in my mind.
Yeah, like Lily Simmons and what is her name? Ivana Milosevic.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're interchangeable, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Just like 20 years added.
Sure.
And that's not a dig.
No.
I don't know. I think that's about all I got in the episode. You have any closing thoughts?
No, I mean, there's just a lot of stuff up in the air. Like, I don't know why... Like, the red bones seem like they're fully under everyone's heel. Like, they're under... one thing that we didn't talk about, a potential shakeup, is one of the former Native Americans that was serving at the reservation and is now chief of the reservation. That'll be interesting.
Wait, how'd you get that? Did they say that?
As Brock was... you might have missed it, because Brock was walking Hood into the office, and Hood was kind of in his reverie about Shaban and all the people he's lost.
He's talking about
and
it had
the
kind
of the, act, well, you know, there's one guy. And he said that under
there. I thought he was just saying, like, mostly, what is it, platitudes or just...
But I'm not sure if that means that he's written out of the show now, or he... Because they talk about these red bones... running heroin in Kai Proctor's territory, which is also the white power movement's territory.
I guess.
But they're like the lowest dog on, or the lowest man on the totem pole at this point.
Yeah.
No, I didn't mean to make that all racial or cultural.
Just cut it.
But so that's the other thing I wanted to say, is kind of like a fairly major change. I know what I want to talk about. You mentioned that Burton looks different this year.
He does.
And I said, you're crazy.
I told you early on in the episode, I said, just watch that something's slightly off about him. And you were like, no. And as the episode got on, you were like, oh, I see it.
Yeah, he's been deflated. Like, they took, like, he's...
dehydrated, really.
He's thinner
and more gaunt.
Yeah. He was like a much more solid, like a bruiser type in previous episodes. I wonder if he's been eating right or something. I mean,
yeah,
he's a little drawn. Do you think that's going to be plot significant, or the guy's just really hitting the diet hard? He had a machinist role in the off season.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's like him being just beefy muscle to going down to being like a very lean, tight thing. Or maybe he's just getting older. I don't know. I have a really big crush on Burton, and it bothers me.
Do you really?
Yeah.
It kind of bothers me.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not him as a person. I just think he's an attractive man.
Okay. Well, you know, that says something about me, I feel like, in some kind of a tangential way. But
I don't know. I'm the same kind of person that's obsessed with true crime dramas.
Yeah. Well, that's why I sleep with one eye open. Let's talk a final thing about...
You can murder me anytime.
about the new Banshee Sheriff's Department. I thought it's really cool with the Art Deco looks, and it's kind of like, you know, the other place was a Cadillac dealership. This looks like almost an old-time movie theater.
Yeah, that's exactly what it looks like. And why did Brock feel the need to mention that it's bulletproof glass?
Just because the other place got shot up so frequently.
I know, but it's just like, that's...
Like, I learned from our mistakes, you know?
Like, welcome back. I know that you have been severely traumatized by this extreme stress, but hey, just to remind you that this thing happened.
Yeah, right. Oh, and this the woman's picture on the wall, you were, you know, pretty much complicit in her death.
And the other guy basically may,
yep,
as well,
and
then
you loved her and respected him, so you're kind of an asshole. I think it's also just to sell what a war zone Banshee is, that the police department needs.
I don't know, it just seems so much better now.
Well,
now that, like,
when the bad guy's running the town, the trains probably arrive on time because it's good for business.
Yeah. I mean, I guess so. No, I'm not going to get political.
Okay.
Yes. I think that, like I said before, I think Brock's running a tight ship now. So,
man, kind of light on fights, except for Carrie whipping ass and as her nighttime Avenger.
Yeah.
But the guy's head in the vice was pretty horrific.
It's not often that, again, God, I sound like such a creep. Uh-huh. It's not often that I get disturbed by images like this. Like, I'm very good at detaching and not...
Sure.
And knowing that it's not real. I'm really good with scary movies that way. It doesn't bother me. But mm-hmm. This bothered me a lot. Well, the second time around, I couldn't watch it.
I've got a binge vice like that, and it's like, you know how sometimes if you get to...
Is that a threat?
Well, you did say I could murder you anytime. So you know how, like, you get too close to Grand Canyon, and you look over, and you're like, oh my God, I could just throw myself off here.
Yeah.
I've got that feeling like I could actually put my head in a vice and crank it just and just see what that's like. Not crush my head, obviously.
I guess,
but like,
I'm just...
And the thought of that is just, it's like, huh, you know, I feel that, like, oh my God, I just gaze into the abyss.
I guess that's what bothers me, is I think about those specifics. Like, I want to know exactly how he died.
I think his skull got cracked, because it looked to me
so was it
like
the,
his skull
the,
cracked
like
an egg and it detached. Like, his whole face dropped down.
Like, was it like blunt force trauma? Trauma.
No, like
drama.
An egg. Like, literally got crushed like an egg. And then,
but
it...
why would that kill you? I mean,
you can,
like, saw into your skull while you're still awake, and doctors can perform surgery. So why would breaking a bone kill you?
Well, if
essentially,
there's any medical doctors that want to say why, like, crushing a person's skull...
That,
like,
I guess
an
that's
egg,
why I'm so disturbed by it. It's, I don't know.
I bet it would hurt. Like, I imagine it's, like, the worst migraine you've ever felt.
No. I'm sorry. I want to retract. I know why he died. It was the baseball bat to the top of the head.
Oh, that's true. Because he wasn't quite dead. He was just...
Just out of it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Like, the brain's being squeezed. You know, he was lost consciousness. Maybe
just the shock alone.
Maybe
probably.
If they let him go and got him to an emergency room, they could have saved him and stabilized him. But then Burton came with the baseball bat, and it's all over.
I guess I've had some pretty bad pressure headaches. That must be that times 1,000.
Yeah. On the other hand, when you really have a head pounder, I bet it would feel good to put it in a cool vice,
yeah,
and just kind of squeeze a bit. Like, you know, because sometimes when my sinuses are acting up, I like to, like, put my heels of my palms and just push against my skull to...
Yeah.
Kind of put, you know, like okay, I'm gonna make the pressure 10 times worse, and when I let go, it's like, ah, relief.
Let's take turns putting each other's head in the vice grip.
Okay.
See how it feels.
Okay.
And if we don't have a podcast released next Monday, someone please call
the police. we'll have get with Jim. He'll know where our garage is.
Either one or both of us will be dead. If the other one is still alive, they'll be on the lam.
They will. And since you've got all the true crime research, you'll probably get away scot fucking free.
And I have a recording that says you plan on killing me, so.
And you gave me permission, so not a jury in the land will convict me. It was a
victimless crime.
We should get into the feedback.
Yes,
if you like to send us feedback, banshee@baldmove.com, or you can talk with us on the forums every Friday night at forums.baldmove.com. What do you got?
First one is from Tommy A. He says, I gotta say, I was disappointed with the premiere of the final season. I think the 2-year jump is what's bugging me. And then he says, if you don't know, the location was changed to Pennsylvania due to tax purposes. I'm disappointed that we aren't going to get any new shots of the old locations, such as Carrie's house, the caddy, outside of the bar, etc. I think the show really ground its gears in this episode, having to work around this 2-year jump, and I think they're going to rely on flashbacks a bit too much, even though the show is known for flashbacks. I don't know. I'm not really hot about the idea of telling the story of the past 2 years in this fragmented style. It seems very forced, and that's because it was forced due to having to work around the shooting location. I broadly agree.
I know. I totally agree. I think the location... I know. I mean, I probably saved them a boatload of money, but... Man, on the final season, maybe you just give up to 10% your savings and just get the thing finished. Because you know what else saves a bunch of money? Not doing seasons 5, 6, 7, and 8. So I it bothers me because I felt like at least 15 minutes of this episode, if not more, was tied up with just explaining and rationalizing why everything is fine. And you're right. There is character moments there to be like, oh, well, yeah, she needed a fresh start and Hood lost his mind and Kai's upgrading everything because he wants more protection. And
would you be as opposed if you knew it was either changed locations or Banshee doesn't get its final season to go out on?
No, of course not. But I don't. Is that the case?
I don't know. I'm just trying to take it at face value and make the best of it.
And having only 8 episodes, it feels like, man, we already kind of largely wasted half of an episode with all this stuff. Like, man, maybe I would feel differently if it's a 10-episode season too. I don't know.
Again, first episode, I'm going to try not to judge it too harshly.
Well, you're probably wise to do so.
He continues, anyway, when it comes to the plot, I'm a little worried about the plot revolving around the hunt for a serial killer. The whole premise with Hood as a suspect and him being gone for 2 years seems like a cheap True Detective ripoff, but we shall see. I did not expect to be bitching about Banshee, but this is my genuine reaction. Fun fact, actually, speaking of True Detective, you recognize Lily Simmons from True Detective, of course.
I did, the second time through, yeah. The other thing I will say is that, I completely
about the plot. How do you feel about this season being about?
Oh, I just don't feel like that the Hood being a serial killer, that's not, no one believes that he's done that.
Right.
Like, they all saying, well, look at your hair, blah, 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 but nobody fucking believes that Hood killed Rebecca.
No, not a man who's so disturbed by another's death. No, he's always been
he's an anti-hero and
the Punisher type in real life. Exactly.
He fucks people up, but only those what needs to be fucked up.
Yes. He continues, I'm mildly intrigued by the white supremacy brother love triangle. Maybe it is his brother. Now I feel like an ass. I'm super hyped about Proctor. I love that dude.
To device with you.
Give me more Hood Proctor Carey interaction and less of Sheriff Brock stumbling around in the woods. I'm also intrigued about exactly what happened to Rebecca, but as I already said, so far the premise seems like discount True Detective.
Yeah, it's funny because I don't know. You like Brock.
I do.
I like Brock's beard, but I always thought that he works best as the flustered and frustrated second banana to Hood's loose cannon.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Him being the sheriff is a weird dynamic because he essentially goes from scene to scene impotently threatening both Kai Proctor and Lucas Hood. And it's not a great look.
I don't know. I just think he's got some really funny, like, one-liners.
He does, but it's like it's kind of like he's putting in the Barney Fife category now.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I do.
I think he stands well on his own.
Well, I mean, he did, like, you know, beat those one Boudicca punks Proctor down. Yeah.
When Proctor said, better be careful, Sheriff, and he says, oh, I always am. I don't know. Right. I think he holds his ground well, especially against Proctor, which is what you need in a sheriff. Albeit, he's still getting away with his bullshit as a mayor. Okay. Grendel B. from the forum said, what an opener. I thought season 4 was going to focus on finding Job, so I was blindsided by Rebecca's murder. That and the 2-year jump forward have really stuffed the cards for this season. Oh, I'm sorry, shuffle the cards. I was like, what does stuff the cards mean? I don't know how to...
Involves a vice.
I don't know how I feel if Rebecca and Job are dead, but I hope we get to hear in Job's voice, what took you motherfucker so long? What do you think? We didn't really talk about Job much.
Yeah, and there's a lot of shocking things because most people are asserting here, and some people that were in a position to know are asserting that he's dead. And, like, you know... I don't know, but who is the guy who's saying all that stuff? What's his name? It's not Brock. But anyway, like, he's in a position of no, but the way that scene ended up, I feel like that everything he said is a lie. Dalton. That's the guy's name. So I don't know. I guess do you think the Banshee's going to have a happy ending or not?
Yes.
If it has a happy ending, well, a happy ending could be Lucas dying or Hood dying to save Carrie and her family and get his friend Joe back and protect Sugar.
Okay.
So do you define that as a happy ending, or does Hood have to live?
I don't know. I think it's circumstantial, but I think it will be a happy ending.
Okay. All right.
It'll work out for the greater good.
But I do feel like to have a happy ending, Job has to be recovered, because Job is one of the best things about the show. And
yes,
we're sorely missing him.
Right, he's a mostly innocent person.
Yes.
Hood is just a tragic figure. Okay. Grendel B continues, a few serotonin overload moments for me. Sergeant Doakes from Dexter has returned to acting. Did not recognize his character from Dexter.
Is that the surprise motherfucker guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you see it in the forums?
Yes. Yes.
So funny.
Yes.
Carrie going...
Do you think that Banshee's the type of show that might give us some kind of out-of-context surprise motherfucker? Do you think they'd go there?
I don't know. That was Showtime. This is Cinemax. I don't know.
Hmm. Oh, that's true. That's true. They might have some professional discourtesy.
Right. I guess, I mean, I was reading this on the forums, but I guess this particular actor went without doing any new roles for about 7 years.
Really?
So.
He's doing work on Reddit.
Do you think he'd come back just to reprise, not reprise, but do some sort of character of his Dexter character? I don't know.
I don't know. Like I said, noped out of Dexter pretty early, so I couldn't tell you.
Okay, and Ed Datlin from the forums. Is it possible the serial killer is a character we've already met? I'm just wondering, but I can't think of any good I can't think of any good suspects. This episode really surprised me. I loved it, and I have no idea where it's going from here.
Bad Bowtie Burton. Mark it down.
I agree. I think it's someone we haven't met, but... Maybe they'll retcon and say he's been here the whole time. So
Do we know who the other two victims were?
I think it's Phobon.
Do we know what the other two victims were?
They were people, I assume.
Well, I know, but then they were women.
Were they?
Mentioned that. Yep. Yep. This is the third woman slayed, but I wonder if we'll find out there's any other connection.
For her to be the third, it seems like it's random, right?
Well, except for, like, if you find out that, like, one of them was one of Kai's whores from the strip club that he used to get down on, or if you find out that, you know, obviously not, can't be Brock's ex-wife.
No.
No, I mean, it'll be interesting to see if there's any connections to her at all, or to Kai at all, because if they are, then definitely my Burton antenna will be twitching.
I don't think so. I think it might be someone who was previously housed in that cabin, or who would have a reason to hate women. Is it the old chief of the tribe? The one that's been replaced?
The chief of the police? No.
I don't know. I think it's...
Yeah, you're right. There's a lot of people that would hate, that has reason to do this just to hurt Kai Proctor.
Yeah. So not until next week will I have a better guesstimate.
Okay.
And it probably won't be much better.
Anything else?
Nope.
All right. Well, this has been your Banshee edition of Bald Move TV. We'll be back next Monday for episode 2 of season 4. Again, get that feedback into Banshee at baldmove.com or on forums, forums.baldmove.com. And we will see you then.
Bye.
Bye.